Bibles to Colossians chapter 4, if you would, please. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew in front of you. I hope that you've been blessed by the study in the book of Colossians. We've are down into the last chapter, and we're going to take a little while to go through this, but I trust it'll be a blessing to you. Now, when we come to the end of the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul spent some time mentioning some people by name and talking about them. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I study the Bible and I come to these portions of Scripture, sometimes it's easy to just kind of read over it and go on. He names this guy and this guy and this guy, and they were good, and that's fine. But I believe that we can learn a lot. A lot of times we talk about the Apostle Paul and the great man of God that he was. And the Apostle Paul was a great man of God. I mean, with zeal, he persecuted the church and persecuted those who followed Christ. And then when he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, with zeal, he lived for Christ. And he poured every part of himself into that, and in the power of the Holy Spirit was used in a great way. But if we're not careful, we'll forget that Paul did not do any of that work alone. And I don't just mean the power of the Holy Spirit. There were other faithful men who were there with him, standing with him, preaching with him, teaching with him, working with him, laboring with him, being beaten with him, in prison with him, and suffering for the cause of Christ with him. And so we sometimes forget about them. Paul is kind of in the spotlight, and rightly so. He was used by God in such a great way. But if you read what we're going to read tonight and you pay attention throughout the Scriptures, you find that Paul was always giving credit to these others and giving thanks to God for them. And I just want to remind you tonight that the church is never about one person. It's about, unless that person's Jesus Christ, but it's about all of us working together for Jesus Christ. And so if you're able, let's stand together this evening. And we'll start with just one of these men and begin to kind of break down their life and their impact in the ministry of the Apostle Paul and how they had been changed and were living for Christ. And we'll see how far we can get tonight. Colossians 4, verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Our Heavenly Father, please help us tonight to learn from these faithful men and how they live for you. And Lord, let us be challenged by your word to trust in Jesus Christ and to live for the Lord Jesus Christ day after day. Lord, forgive us when we sin against you, when we fail you. And Lord, give us a right heart, a right spirit. And Lord, give us courage and strength to live for you day by day. Please bless your word now, if we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. I don't know if you have a way of taking notes tonight, but I'm going to share a lot of Bible references, scripture references with you tonight. So if you're able, I'd encourage you to write down a few references this evening. And when we study about the man named Tychicus, his name literally means fortunate or fortuitous. And certainly he was very blessed by God, and God used him in a great way. But we read about him first in Acts chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Acts chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And the Bible says, "And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. These, going before, tarried for us at Troas, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days." And so here, Tychicus is listed among these men like Aristarchus, who we're going to learn about in a little while, Secundus and Gaius and Timotheus or Timothy and these others, Trophimus. And so he was part of the number that when Paul left and went from Macedonia, they wanted to go back through Macedonia, and as they traveled through, he was one of those that were there with him. So Tychicus was a traveling partner. Now, Colossians is sometime much later in Paul's ministry, and here Tychicus is still faithful in the work of the Lord. Now, here's the thing. How many of you have seen people come into the church and maybe even be excited about being here only to leave a little while later? You ever seen that? I was talking to a pastor friend of mine just yesterday, and we were talking about, he said, the Lord's blessed. We've seen a lot of people come in the front door. He said, but we can't close the back door. And people are just, they come in and they go out as fast as they come in. He said, some, you know, if they've moved away, this family of six moved to another state, and this family of four moved to another town, and this and that. But he said, but a lot of them have just quit. They just quit. Maybe they go to a different church, or maybe they just drop out of church altogether and they quit. So when we study about these men who were faithful, those who were there in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul, and they're still hanging around when Paul is in prison, when Paul is coming to the end of his life, they're still faithful, they're still serving the Lord, it ought to be a challenge to us to stick with it. Don't quit. Stay faithful. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21, Ephesians 6:21, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. He's a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you, be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. To the Ephesians, written from Rome by Tychicus. And so here, Tychicus is not just traveling with him, but he's actually being used by God to be the penman. As the Holy Spirit of God directs Paul what to write, Tychicus is the one putting pen to paper. I mean, this man was vital in the work of the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have the book of Ephesians tonight because of the faithfulness of men like Tychicus, not just the Apostle Paul. But here he was used by God in the work of the Lord. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 12, when I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Now, we think about these great men of God, these apostles like the Apostle Paul sometimes. We think that they always got it right and they never made any mistakes, but they didn't know how things were always going to go unless the Holy Spirit of God revealed it to them. They didn't know. He said, you know, I want to send this guy, but if I can't send him, then I want to send Tychicus. And he was just somebody Paul could count on. I want to send somebody. I plan on sending this guy, but if that doesn't work out, I know I can count on Tychicus to be there. I know he's going to be faithful. I know he's going to be there. And I just am encouraged by the faithfulness of these men. 2 Timothy 4:12, Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus, and he was the one there. That I believe not only did Paul dictate to him by the Holy Spirit what to write down, but then he was the one that took the actual letter, the first letter that was written down, and he delivered it to the church at Ephesus from Rome. I mean, he was the one that was entrusted with the Word of God to take it to the churches, to the church there at Ephesus. So let's just go back to our text here, Colossians chapter 4, verse 7, and let's just break down what he says. I wanted you to see that this isn't the only place he's mentioned, and when you really start to dig what a huge impact he had and what a part he had in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Colossians 4 and verse 7, he says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you. What I want you to notice first of all about this man is that he was invested in the work of God. Now, how is it that he's going to go to the Colossae and he's going to tell them everything that's going on in Paul's life? Well, he could tell them about it because he knew about it, because he was invested in it, because he was there with them, because he made the work of God his work, because he made God's business his business, because he was concerned with what the man of God was doing. He knew about what the man of God was doing, and he wanted to be a part of that. Now, there's stuff that a lot of us know a little bit about. Some of you almost got on shouting ground the other day because I brought up football season almost being here. I mean, some of you guys are are just all in when it comes to football. Now, I like football as much as anybody. I used to be just nuts about it. I used to be to where it would physically make me ill when the Sooners didn't play well. I'm just going to confess to you that it wasn't that many years ago. It was hard for me to get up on Sunday morning and come to church if the Sooners lost. Now, some of you are getting convicted right now, and you should be. It's just a game. It's not that big a deal. Amen. There's nothing wrong with watching it and being excited when they do good, but it's just a game. It's just a team. But you know, there's some of you here tonight that could give me the whole roster for the whole team right now. You can tell me who's going to start. You can tell me who's already injured. You can tell me all these things about it. You know about the business of OU football. Or Lord help you, some of you might know about the Razorbacks. Hi. We know about stuff that we're invested in. We know about things that we have a vested interest in. We know about things that we care about. But Tychicus was a man who could go to another city and he could declare all the state, all of the activities, all of the business, all of the work that Paul had been doing, he could go and tell. I mean, he could go and give a report just as though he had been there and done the work. Well, because he was there and was doing the work. But he was able to go and tell what was going on. I mean, what I'm trying to tell you is he basically was going and giving a mission report. We have missionaries come through and tell about what's going on. Brother Pinkovich was here from Russia. He got to come and tell us what's going on in Russia. But we have others come. Brother Maneri comes here and he tells us what's going on in Romania. But this man was able to go and tell what was going on with the Apostle Paul, all that he had done, because he was invested in the work of God. He knew about it. He could come and say, this is where Paul's been, and this is where he's going. This is the people who have been saved. This is the churches that have been established. And he knew about the work of God. I want to tell you today that we ought to be more interested in the work of God than we are anything else in our lives. There's a lot of important things. You ought to know about the state of your family. You ought to know about the state of your finances. We're to be good stewards of those. We ought to know about what's going on in our family and in our community and all of those things, but we ought to know what's going on in the work of the Lord. Sometimes we get a little disconnected from church and the work that the church is doing. But I just want you to understand something, friends. There's nothing secret going on in this place. If you don't know about what's going on at church, that's your fault. Amen. If you want to know what's going on at church, all you got to do is get involved. Well, Tychicus knew what was going on because he was involved. Amen. He was in the work. Not only was he invested in the work of God, but he loved the people of God. Now listen, he says, who is a beloved brother. Now, Paul's saying, I love Tychicus. He is loved by me. This is not that phileo, this brotherly love. This is that agape, godly love, this charitable love. He said he's beloved. Not only is he loved by me, obviously he's loved by God. But I want you to notice something. People who are loved, it's because they love. Why do we love God? Because he first loved us. Why was it that Tychicus was so loved by the Apostle Paul? I believe with all my heart it's because Tychicus loved Paul. He loved the man of God. He loved the Apostle of God. He loved the work of God. And his love for the work of God and the man of God caused the man of God to love him. It was a reciprocal thing. That's the way love works, by the way. The wife might say, my husband doesn't love me. The way you fix that is by loving him more. We have an impact on other people by how we treat them and how we act to them. And when we treat somebody with love, then that's going to bring love back to us. Amen. He was a beloved brother. He had the love of God in his life. Not only that, but he was trustworthy in the service of God. Did you notice that it says, and he was a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. We probably wouldn't care much for these words that are used to describe him, except we like the word faithful. I would venture to say that everybody here would like to be considered faithful. Is that true? Amen. Don't you want to be faithful? Amen. Faithful to your family, faithful to your country, faithful to your church, faithful to the Lord. I don't think anybody sets out to say, you know what, I want to do this for a little while and then I want to quit. I think people set out to be faithful. But notice what he was faithful as. He was faithful as a servant. He was trustworthy. That word faithful means trustworthy. He was trustworthy in the service of God. That word minister is the word diakonos. It's the word we get deacon from. It's a servant, a minister. It's somebody who waits on other people. The idea of a deacon is a waiter, somebody who waits on others, who takes care of others, who serves others. Now, I don't know if Tychicus was actually held the office of a deacon, but he did the work of a deacon. You guys with me? I don't think that people who are really have the heart to be a deacon are concerned so much about the office or the title. They do that work no matter what. And the fact of the matter is, all of us should be ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we serve him by serving others. Amen. He was a minister. And then it says that he was a fellow servant, soon doulos. It means that he was a co-slave, literally. We see the word servant, it kind of sounds a little better, but really what it meant was it's the same word used for a bond slave. It was somebody who was indebted to somebody else and would work off that debt. Now listen, we owe a debt to the Lord that we can never pay. We don't work so that we can be saved, but because we are saved, we ought to serve him with our whole heart. And we ought to, notice he says fellow servant, it's a co-laborer. Paul said, this man worked together as a servant with me. He was with me in the work of the Lord. And that's what God wants us to do, that we can work together. Trustworthy in the service of God. So he was invested in the work of God. He was loved by the people of God. He was trustworthy in the service of God. And notice also that he had a concern for the people of God. He said, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate. He had a concern for the people of God. Paul sent him down there to figure out what was going on in Colossae. He said, listen, I'm going to send him. He's going to be able to tell you everything that's going on with me, but he wants to come find out what's going on with you. He cared about the work of God. He cared about the churches of God. He cared about the people of God. And we ought to have a concern for the people of God. Amen. We ought to have a concern for the work of God. And I want to tell you something. We're all busy, and we all got a lot going on, and I can be just as guilty of anybody as this, but we ought to ask people how they're doing, and we ought to care enough to listen when they respond. Amen. I don't know if you're guilty of this, but I have been. Have you ever asked somebody how they were doing, and 10 minutes later you were wishing you hadn't asked? Anybody else honest enough to admit that tonight? I mean, sometimes you're just like, you know what? Never mind. Tychicus wasn't that way. He had a concern for the people of God. Paul said, I'm sending him down there so he can find out your estate, the condition that things are in, the state of the affairs. What's going on in the church? How's everybody doing? Is everybody healthy? Is everybody safe? Is everybody serving the Lord? Is everybody growing in the Lord? Are you being witnesses for the Lord? Are you sharing your faith? Are you preaching the gospel? Is the church growing? What's going on down there? And he was concerned about it. He cared about it. I don't know about you, but I love to hear about what's going on in our sister churches. We got the report last Saturday that they had 5 additions down here at Zion and Roland, and I rejoice in that. I found out that this Sunday at Landmark in Vianne, they had 176 for their morning worship service, the most they've ever had on a regular Sunday. Amen. I mean, they've had some bigger days for special occasions, but just a regular Sunday, 176 people. Praise God. Amen. I've been hearing good reports from around our sister churches. You know what? We ought to care about what's going on in the work of the Lord. And that's where he was. He was concerned about the people of God. And then he was exhorting the people of God. He said, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate, and comfort your hearts. Comfort. Now, this is where we see a lot. It's rendered comfort. It's rendered to call near. The idea of this is to call alongside. And just like Paul was working and Tychicus would come alongside him, he would come along with him and work with him, and they moved together. That's exactly what Tychicus was going to do in Colossae. He wanted to go down there to the Colossians and say, come on, let's serve the Lord. Let's keep moving towards Christ. Let's serve the Lord. Let's be faithful to him. Let's preach the gospel. Let's grow in his grace. Let's do this thing. And he was exhorting them and comforting them and helping them to come together and move forward in the work of the Lord. We desperately need encouragers in the church today. Amen. Have you ever been discouraged in your walk with Christ? Have you ever been discouraged in church? Hey, have you ever been discouraged by somebody in the church? Don't look at me like that. I'm an encourager. I'm talking about me. Hey, listen, we need to be encouraging one another. Amen. We need to be careful about what we say and how we say it. Now listen, if somebody's getting into sin or somebody's doing something wrong, we ought to go to that person in love. What did I say? We ought to go to that person in love and encourage them in the Lord. It doesn't mean that we just ignore sin or ignore problems or ignore potential sin. We don't, that's not encouraging. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes you need to go to somebody and say things that might be hard to say, but when you do that in love towards that person, then you help them. You guys with me? We ought to exhort one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. And listen, we have an opportunity to help each other. Listen, it's the devil's job to tear you down. It's the world's job to beat you down. This ought to be a place of building up. Amen. He said, I'm sending him because he's got a concern for you so he can find out what's going on. And I'm sending him so he can comfort your heart so that he can exhort you in the work of the Lord. Serving the Lord is not always easy. Staying faithful to Jesus is not always easy. It's tough. But that's why we need each other. I believe that one of the reasons Paul was the man that he was and was able to do what he did was because of men like Tychicus who were with him in the trenches, who stood by his side, who helped him and encouraged him along the way. Let's look at verse 9. And a man named Onesimus. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. So, he's sending not just Tychicus, but he's sending Onesimus. These two would come together. Now he calls Onesimus one of them, and I don't know exactly what that means. The Bible doesn't really bear it out for sure. It's likely to mean that he came from Colossae, that's where he came from. It could mean something else, but I think that's probably what it means. I think we could probably read into it a little bit more. He's one of them because he's of the faith. He's a believer. He's following Christ. He's serving the Lord, but more than likely, it just means that he's from that place. The name Onesimus means profitable. He's profitable. In Philemon chapter 1 and verse 10, if you'd look at that with me, please. Philemon. It says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he have wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Now here's Onesimus. He was a slave, a bondservant, to a man named Philemon. Now Philemon was a brother. Onesimus was lost. But then he met a man named Paul in prison. And Paul led him to Christ. And he became faithful to the Lord there with the Apostle Paul. And when the opportunity came, Paul said, Onesimus, you need to go back to Philemon. You need to go and make this right. And Paul sent this letter with him back to his master. And he says in the letter, I want you to receive him. I want you to know that I really wanted him to stay with me because he's profitable to me. It's his name. He's profitable. But I didn't want to do anything without your heart behind it. So he sends him back. He says, I want you to receive him. I want you to receive him not as a slave, not as a servant, but as a brother in Christ. And he says, if he owes anything, put that on my account. But I'm not going to say how much you owe me. Did you catch that at the end? I'm not going to bring up how much you owe me. But whatever Onesimus owes you, you put that on my account. So he sends that letter back with them. I don't know exactly how everything goes down after that, but I know this. Here's Onesimus. Here he is with Tychicus, serving the Lord with the Apostle Paul, and Paul is able to send these men to Colossae to strengthen the brethren, to help them in the work of the Lord. I'm talking about a man who was a runaway slave, who's now being used because of his faithfulness in the work of the Lord. Anybody else here ever been a runaway slave? I don't mean literally, but I mean we were a slave to sin. Amen. And we were running. Amen. And then we met Jesus. Amen. And he set us free. Amen. And now we can faithfully serve him in his work. So we look back at Colossians chapter 4 and verse 9 and notice that he also is trustworthy and beloved. He is a faithful and beloved brother. He's trustworthy and he is loved. Notice his identity with the people of God. He is one of you. And we know that he probably was just from Colossae, but I think that it ought to be said of all of us. We are one of another. Amen. We have unity in Christ. Amen. We have unity in him. We are one in Christ. Jesus prayed to the Father. He said, I want them to be one with me as I am one with you. And so, he's one of you. This is our church family. Amen. Are you thankful for your church family? Amen. It's kind of neat to watch sometimes when somebody new comes into the church. They talk about church as they. They, the church is doing this, the church is doing that. Somewhere along the way, something changes, though, and it's no longer they, it's we. Amen. He's one of you. Amen. When you think about church, do you think about it as they? The church is doing this, the church is doing that? Or is it we? We're doing this, we're doing that. I hope you get it, that if you're part of this church, you're a part of something here. Amen. We are the body of Christ to do his work. His identity with the people of God, and he was invested in the work of God. Again, he said, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Tychicus and Onesimus were faithful men. They were blessed by God because of their faithfulness to God. They were trustworthy in the service of God, and they're men to be looked to for encouragement for us today, that we would seek to be faithful men and women of God. Real quickly, let's look at verse 10 this evening and see if we can talk about a couple of more men very quickly. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. Aristarchus is mentioned in Acts chapter 19 and verse 29. Acts 19 and verse 29, the Bible says, the whole city was filled with confusion, and having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. So while Paul was preaching and they were down there preaching, and most assuredly it wasn't just Paul preaching. We have his sermons recorded, but these other men that were with him, I have no doubt that they were in the crowd, that they were preaching, that they were witnessing as well. And when all this mob comes, there's mass confusion, they grab Aristarchus and Gaius, and they're gonna arrest them or beat them or whatever. But they're right there in the middle of things with the Apostle Paul, jeopardizing their lives for the preaching of the gospel. And then in Acts chapter 20 and verse 4, they're accompanying him to Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, Gaius of Derbe, Timotheus of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. So he didn't quit. When the mob came and they grabbed him, he didn't say, man, this is getting too intense, this is too scary, I'm going home. No, he stayed, and he was faithful and continued on in the work of the Lord. In Acts chapter 27, verses 1 and 2, and when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. And entering into a ship of Adramidium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. So here's Aristarchus when Paul is imprisoned and he's being shipped off to Rome. Guess who's right there with them? Aristarchus. He's there. Philemon 1, verses 23 and 24. There saluteth thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. So we notice something about Aristarchus. He was fully committed to the service of God. Paul said he's my fellow prisoner. It's one thing to be a fellow laborer. It's one thing to be a fellow servant. It's one thing to work with somebody. It's an entirely different thing when things get so bad, people are getting thrown in jail, to stick with it. But when things got tough, when Paul's getting beaten and when Paul's being imprisoned, Aristarchus didn't run and hide. He stayed right there with him. He ended up with jail with the Apostle Paul. Why? Because he was serving the Lord faithfully with him no matter what. He was fully committed to the service of God. I want to tell you this tonight, friends. I hear people say all the time, if they come try to take away my Bible, they'll have to take it from my cold, dead fingers. You ever said anything like that? Or thought anything like that? I want to tell you something, friend. If you don't read it now, you're not gonna give up your freedom for it later. But listen, we have brothers and sisters in Christ around the world in countries today where it's illegal to have a Bible. It's illegal to share the gospel. You can go to prison for handing out a gospel tract. That's the reality in places in the world today. Aristarchus was the kind of man that didn't care. He cared more about the gospel of Jesus Christ than he did his own freedom. He cared more about the gospel of Jesus Christ than he did his own life. And he was willing to stand. You can say whatever you want to, friend, but if you're not willing to stand for it today when it's easy, you're not going to stand for it when it's hard. If we're not willing to stand up and witness to our friends at work today, when there's nothing wrong with it, you're not going to get in trouble for it. You're not going to witness to them when you're going to get in trouble for it. There's companies in America today that's against their policy to share the gospel in the workplace. They try to tell our kids today that it's against the law for them to share the gospel at school, which, by the way, is a lie. As long as it's not during in the middle of class, it's not during instructional time, they can share the gospel, they can hand out gospel tracts, they can give away Bibles if they want to. We have these freedoms today, but if we won't take advantage of these freedoms now, we're not going to do it when the freedoms are gone. We need to take a stand. He was fully committed to the service of God, and notice his affection for the people of God. The Bible says that here he is in prison. Here he is, a fellow prisoner with Paul, and he says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, he saluteth you. Aristarchus says hi from a Roman prison with love. It's like a postcard. Well, this word saluteth, it means to greet. It means to embrace. All those verses that we read where it says, greet one another with an holy kiss, that's what this is, that salute. It means that it doesn't just mean Aristarchus says hi. It means that Aristarchus loves you. It means that Aristarchus sends warm greetings to you. It means that Aristarchus cares about you and he loves you in the work of the Lord and he wants to encourage you in the work of the Lord. And here he is in prison. He's saying, listen, I love you guys. I love you. I don't know what more he could possibly say. He could have gone on to say, stick with it, don't quit, fight the good fight. But I think a man who's in prison for his faith, who tells other believers who have their freedom, I love you, I think it says a lot. I think it says don't quit. I think it says be faithful. This evening, we're going to get ready to have an invitation. We have so many more to talk about here in Colossians chapter 4, but we're going to stop right here with Aristarchus, this man who was fully committed to the service of God. In America today, in Muldrow today, if you try to stand for your faith in Jesus Christ, if you stand with your brothers and sisters here in this church, if you stand with your pastor, as we try to reach our community with the gospel, we're not likely to face much real persecution. Every once in a while, somebody gets a door slammed in their face. Every once in a while, somebody won't take a gospel tract. The other night, I stopped at Brahms on the way home, and I tried to give somebody a tract, and they wouldn't take it. So I got a different one out and said, how about this one? They wouldn't take that one either. You know, that's about the extent of it here. And friends, if we're not committed to Christ enough to be willing to face a little bit of rejection, we're not committed at all. We need to up our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we need to renew our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at these men, Tychicus and Onesimus and Aristarchus and Marcus, and we'll go on down the list, and how faithful they were. Faithful, faithful, faithful. They weren't going to quit. They were going to keep serving. And friend, by the grace of God, you need to make a determination in your heart. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep fighting the good fight. I'm going to stay faithful. I was listening to a sermon the other day. Young man, he was an old man at the time, been pastoring for 30 or 40 years, but he was talking about when he first started in the ministry, graduated from Bible college in Missouri. And the night that he graduated from Bible college, he had a wife and a baby. And he said before midnight, he said about 11:45 p.m., we were on our way out of Springfield, Missouri. We were headed to California to start a church. He didn't know what he was doing, didn't know anything about it. But he got out there and found a pastor and a church that was willing to send him. The pastor of that church said, we'll send you, we'll endorse you to go out, we'll send you to plant a church. He said, I'll give you $50 a month for 6 months. Any preacher that's worth his salt ought to be self-supporting in 6 months. That's encouraging, isn't it? And the man said, I wasn't worth my salt. So 2 years later, we still didn't have a salary. He said, I was working two jobs. By that time, I had two kids. He said, I was done. He said, I went to my pastor, my sending pastor, and he said, I can't do it anymore. He said, I quit. Pastor, before you do that, I want to send you up here to this Bible conference they're having. Just go to that and pray about it. Go to that, and then we'll talk. He said, I walked into that church, and there was a big banner hanging up over the front. It said, don't quit. The whole meeting was don't quit. He said, I went to that meeting, and the Lord just worked me over. And he said, I left that place with a new commitment. He said, I don't care if I die. I don't care what it costs. I'm not going to quit. We got to get to a place, friends, where it doesn't matter what it costs. It doesn't matter what it takes. We're not going to quit. Amen. Because the work of the Lord, it's worth it. Amen. It's not in vain. It's worth it. Let's stand together. We're going to sing what number?
Page 530.
The Holy Spirit speaking to your heart tonight. Maybe you've been tempted to quit. Maybe you've been tempted to walk away. I just want to challenge you tonight. You get on your knees and renew a commitment to the Lord. I want to be faithful. I want to be a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. If He's convicting your heart, would you come right now?